Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So hear now the story. In the city of Philippi, Paul and Silas met a slave girl who had an evil spirit in her. The evil spirit helped her know about things that hadn't happened yet. So people paid her to tell them what was going to happen to them, and she earned a lot of money for her master that way. The girl followed Paul and his friends and shouted, "These men are servants of God. They will tell you how to be saved." Now this went on for several days, and Paul didn't like to hear an evil spirit talk about Jesus. At last, he turned around and said to the spirit inside the girl, "In the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And right away, the spirit came out and left her. And her masters were angry. Now the girl could no longer earn money for them by telling people what was going to happen. And the man grabbed Paul and Silas and took them to the city leaders and told lies about them. "These Jews are getting everyone in our city upset," they shouted. "They are teaching the people to do things that are against our Roman laws." And a crowd of people became angry with Paul and Silas. So the city leaders gave an order for the men to get a beating. And after that, Paul and Silas were put into jail. And the jailer, the man who was in charge of the jail, was told to be sure that they didn't get out. So he took them into a room way inside the prison and put their feet through the holes in some blocks of wood, locking them in place. But in the middle of the night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing praises to God. Suddenly a great earthquake shook the whole jail, and all the doors opened, and everyone's chains fell off. The jailer woke up and thought everyone had run away, and he was ready to end his life because he was afraid that he would be in trouble anyway. But Paul shouted to him, "Don't hurt yourself, we're all here." Then the man called for a light and ran into the room where Paul and Silas were. And he got down on his knees and cried out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they answered him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Your family will believe and be saved too." And when they told him and his family about the Savior, they all believed and were baptized. Paul and Silas had received a bad beating, so the jailer washed the blood from their backs, even gave them a meal in his own house. How happy he and his family were to believe in Jesus. In the morning, the city leader sent some officers to tell the jailer, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul and Silas they could leave, but Paul said, "The city leaders had no right to beat us. Even though we are Roman citizens, they put us in jail without taking us to court to be judged. They want us to leave? Let them send us away themselves." So when the city leaders heard that Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, the leaders came and said they were very sorry. Then they asked the two men to leave. This is a story about God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, this is not an easy story to hear. We hear it mid-story about the early beginnings of your church and how instrumental Paul and Silas were for bringing a word of hope, of good news to those outside the Jewish community. As we hear about this particular event in their lives, help us to learn what you would have us learn this day. That the Spirit will stir and move within us to open our hearts and our minds to hear your voice speak to us. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we've been going through these summer stories, and it's interesting to choose a story about being thrown into jail, right? The first 4 weeks of this summer series, we spent some time in the Old Testament, and we're spending a little bit of time in the New Testament, and so it's appropriate for us to capture a moment in the early beginnings of the church. Now, we know that Paul at one time was known by a different name. What was his other name? Saul, yes. And Saul was a fervent persecutor of these early Christians and very familiar with Jewish law and also a Roman citizen. But after his own conversion story, where was he going? Damascus, thank you. What happened to him on the way to Damascus? He lost his sight, right? And so he ended up spending 3 days in Damascus, and then Ananias came and healed his eyesight, and those scales fell off, and he had been converted to actually being fervently for the spreading of the gospel rather than the persecution of those who were carrying that message. And so we know that Paul traveled extensively, but he did spend some time back in Jerusalem, particularly in coordination with Peter and the other disciples who were spreading the good news, the way of Jesus. But in this instance, we hear of Paul and Silas's interaction with a young girl. She had the ability to foretell the future, right? And because of that, she was able to earn her masters a lot of money. She was very profitable. She had high commodity in terms of them being able to achieve some things. And other people were willing to pay for that service as well. But Paul knew that her ability was not actually one based in the truth of God, but rather through a spirit of possession. And she was basically calling Paul and Silas out of, these guys are going to tell you how to find salvation in God through Christ, which was a very different way of achieving salvation, particularly in that time, in that season. And I don't know about you, and I'm trying to think about what that would be like. I almost consider it similar to being a parent and having a kid, like, right behind you. Well, Mom, well, what about this? Mom, what about that? What, Mom? You know, that constant chatter of questioning and wondering, and you're like, oh, my gosh, will you please stop asking me questions? Just me? No. And I think it can happen with nieces and nephews. I think it can happen with coworkers. I think it can happen, you know, with family members and friends that you know. And it's just kind of like, oh my goodness. And Paul got fed up. Honestly, he got fed up with it. And he basically rebuked the spirit and said, get out of her. And because he did that, her masters lost their money and the ability to make off of those in the community. They were mad. They were really mad. And we hear this. This is not the first time that we hear this. What about the time that Jesus cast out all the evil spirits, you know, from Legion into a herd of pigs, and the pigs went off the hillside, and the community wanted to run Jesus off the cliff because he had challenged their livelihood and impacted their security, right? Like, we hear this, and people get very frustrated with having their way of life or the way they do things challenged by someone else, and particularly in this case, because of the truth of God, which is very interesting for us to wrestle. So they get beaten and they get thrown into jail, and I imagine it's kind of like the bottom, deepest, farthest place away without contact around anybody else, right? Because, man, we're not taking any chances for them to escape. And then what happens? An earthquake. The incredible power of God to break them free from their imprisonment. How many of you were alive and aware of that giant earthquake that hit during the World Series that hit San Francisco back in the 80s? Yeah. There were a few years where I lived in California, and I was actually there when that earthquake hit. I wasn't, thankfully, in the epicenter, but I was close enough that I was maybe 12, 13, and I looked at my mom like, what is this? And we grabbed my baby sister up, and we ran outside. And at the time, we had a big blue Toyota Land Cruiser, right? Like, we're not talking a small car. We're talking a big car, and it was in the driveway. And you could see this thing rolling like this. And what was very strange is that everything was incredibly quiet. You did not hear birds chirping. You didn't hear animals chittering. Like, it had just kind of come to a complete and utter stop. And it was an experience I will never forget. And obviously there was damage that was caused from that. But to take that personal experience and overlay it with the experience of Paul and Silas in jail, I wonder what that would have been like for all of those who had been imprisoned in that jail to have things go utterly quiet. And then to have that rocking motion, the power of God to just release all the doors and all of the chains, and just, could you imagine them just falling the shackles off of your wrists and your ankles? I'm sure it was an experience unlike any else they would have ever had or would have again. And of course, seeing this, the jailer is afraid that they're all going to break loose. And yet there is something that kept them there. They weren't seeking to cause further harm or further damage. Rather, they were waiting to see what would come next. And I could focus in on the other aspects of this and the challenges. And Paul certainly, you know, says, yes, believe the good news and the salvation of the soldier who was in charge of their care. But later the Roman leaders, you know, who Paul says, well, if they want to get rid of us, make them come and do it themselves, right? Because they were totally out of line with how they treated us and how we even ended up here in the first place. And we could focus, I mean, we could spend weeks in this text and focus on all of the aspects. But what I want to focus on particularly today is this idea of the cell doors being opened, the locks on the shackles falling away. Friends, I guarantee you that all of us have something in our lives that is holding on tight to us that is not what God wants for us. It may be feelings of resentment for a failed relationship. It may be, you know, frustration with employers, employees, our work circumstances of like, this can't be all that there is. Or maybe it's, you know, thinking about our kids of, you know, maybe that anxiety about returning to school. Or for me, you know, to get a message from my kid and I immediately go to past experiences and interpret it differently than how it was intended. Does anybody else do that? Because our own filters is based upon our experiences. And that may not be really what's happening. And so we are kind of gripped sometimes by our experiences, by our past, our life, our fears, our anxieties. And sometimes we may lose sight of the hope that can be found in God through Christ. And then it could be something crazy like an earthquake that may shake us out of our complacency or our imprisonment of our own making. Or it could be the simple whispering of God to say, be still and know that I am God. That what is binding you will be loosed. What is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. You can be free from these things that have this hold tight on you. you will find peace in me. So I ask you to take a little time this week and think about what's holding you. What are you feeling tethered by that may be keeping you from a fuller connection to God, or maybe to someone you love, or to the community? And ask for God to shake loose those tethers, to free you to receive more abundantly the grace that God has for you. And it's not just about you, friends. It's also about looking for those places where there's injustice, where people are bound by powers in the world that cause harm and do not do good. So if we are freed, we are called to help others be freed as well. That is justice. That is God working on the side of those who are oppressed or overlooked or unseen, uncared for. The freedom that God gives you in our belief in our salvation is free to everyone. May we have courage to be freed from our own things so that we can help others be free as well. Because God's grace is more than enough. God's mercy is more than enough. God's love is what looses us from the bindings of this world that we may be fully connected to God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God for a God who will send us an earthquake or the gift of his Son to loose us from the things that bind us so tightly. Thanks be to God for a love like that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.